Welcome to the COVID-19 Crisis Conversation with CJ Hayden and Christine Carey on April 3rd, 2020. So before I turned on the recording, I talked about the technical part of following along with us today. Let's talk about the process part of what we're going to be doing here. Chris and I are going to make some introductory remarks. Then we're going to divide the conversation into three parts. First, we're going to talk about marketing and sales, then about reinventing your business, and then about staying productive and sane. Those are the three categories, broad categories of things that we have heard from folks that they're interested in getting some help with. And also, they're the three categories of topics that came up when we had an earlier conversation last week. And then we'll make some closing remarks and talk about next steps. This is a conversation. It's not a class. We're going to call on you, ask you to ask questions, make contributions to others. You are welcome to put comments in the chat, but we will ask you, rather than putting your question in the chat, if what you could do is raise your hand so we can call on you to actually say your question out loud. If you happen to be in a place where you actually can't speak today, fine, go ahead and put your question in chat and we'll try and include it in the conversation. Please do stay on mute with your video off until we call on you. So that's the process part. So our mindset for today, our mindset that we want to have for this conversation is we're all facing this crisis around COVID-19. And as self-employed professionals, we have a specific set of issues that are not necessarily the same as issues for the wider population. Yes, some of them will be quite similar, but others are unique to us and our own space in the sphere that we all live in. So this thing is here. It's real, it's unavoidable, it's worldwide, and we don't know how long it's going to last. But I do want us to all hang on to the realization that it is temporary. We don't know if it's going to be 6 months from now, a year from now, 18 months from now. We don't know how long this situation is going to last, but it is temporary. There will be an end to it. So the solutions that we need to come up with for ourselves are temporary solutions. In some cases, those solutions will last a lot longer than the crisis itself. But it is temporary. So here in this space, I want us to focus on being pragmatic and to talk about solutions. We're not going to do fear-mongering. We're not going to do blaming. But we're also not going to do happy talk. This is going to be hard. We're going to have issues and problems, some minor, some major. But here in this space, we're going to look for solutions to them because we really are all in this together. And that is a significant part of the mindset for today that I want us to hold on to. So, Chris, anything that you'd like to add to those thoughts about our mindset for this conversation?
Completely agree. You know, there's an attitude of understanding that this is where we are, being present with it, not being Pollyanna or ignoring. And the more you can be present with it, the more options you have, the more empowered you are. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that we all want to be informed and stay safe and healthy for ourselves and the sake of our communities and the people we love. And having said that, I also feel like as entrepreneurs, self-employed types, we all have a lot that's really unique to offer that is part of what we'll be looking at again, you know, throughout our conversation today. So,
great. Yep. Agreed. Thanks, Chris. All right. So, some of the broad brush kinds of issues that we may all be sharing are things like this. You need to keep marketing during this crisis somehow, even when it seems like maybe all the rules have changed. you might even need to ramp it up because of changes in your business. And you might not be sure how to do that in the current environment. Maybe you can't work now due to stay-at-home guidelines. So then what? If the way that you usually do your work isn't working, maybe you need to be reinventing your business right now so that you can work. It could be that your income or your business has been cut way back, or it's about to be, or you fear it will be. It could also be that you're finding it really hard to focus right now and get things done. And you may be finding yourself stressed out, shook up, and worried. So know that we know about those issues. All of us here know about some portion of those issues. And let's just bring all of those possibilities of what might be wrong, what might need to be fixed, what might need to be changed, or what might need to be looked at differently into this space. So what we're going to do is focus on a couple of things that will help us have this conversation be useful. First of all, please keep all personal information shared in this conversation confidential. You're welcome to share with anyone your own personal experience of this conversation. So whatever you learn or discover today, feel absolutely free to share that, because talking about it really can help. But you're not permitted to share the names of other people or their identifying details without their explicit permission. So right here in this conversation, if somebody typed in their full name when they signed in, that name may be showing here. On the recording of this conversation, that person's name will not be showing. So when I call on people, I'm going to call on people, or when Chris calls on people, we're going to call on people by first name and last initial, if the last name is there. So that will enable us to stay confidential. If at any point you're sharing a resource that requires people getting in touch with you and you want to give your full name when you talk, please feel absolutely free. We are recording today, and the recording is going to be shared with others. So if you say something at any point today you would prefer not appear in the recording, please notify us immediately after the session. We'll give our email addresses at the end, and we'll edit it out before we release the recording. So just remember that you're not permitted to share information about other people without their explicit permission. If somebody offers a resource today and you want to reach out to that person and say, hey, can I share that with other people? Please ask first. Okay, hopefully that's clear to everybody, so everyone can feel as if this is a safe space to bring anything that you need to. So we're going to...
Can I add a quick thing to that?
Oh, Stephen? Yes, please do.
Chris, I was just going to say, you know, the chat is really nice as well. There's already a couple of comments in here. Mm-hmm. And you can privately chat to somebody. If somebody says something and you want to dig a little deeper into that comment, then you can go ahead and private chat them just by finding their name. It's by default, it's set on everyone. So just notice whether you're chatting with everyone or if you're just looking to chat with somebody specific.
Perfect, Chris. Thanks for pointing that out. Excellent. So the second thing is we're going to group questions into categories. All right, so our first category of questions that we'll be talking about is marketing and sales. So in a minute, we're going to start inviting questions, comments about the marketing and sales topic, and asking you what it is that you need to hear from us, from somebody else today, in order to move forward with whatever you need to do or to feel or to make possible for yourself. So the kinds of things that might come into this topic would be things like you need to keep in touch with prospective clients, but your usual marketing feels inappropriate, or you don't want to seem tone deaf in your marketing and sales messages. you're available to do business virtually, and you need to get the, that should have been word out, not work out. And you need clients as soon as possible to replace what you've lost or are about to lose. Those are ideas of things that might fit in this space. So we're going to do that with the three separate topics that I mentioned at the beginning. And just as a reminder, next after marketing and sales is reinventing your business. And next after reinventing your business is staying productive and sane. So let's open it up. Anybody who has a question or something to share about marketing and sales, this is the time to raise your hand. On the phone, you can do that with a *9. Online, you can do that by finding the attendee control bar, looking for either participants or more, depending on what device you're using, and then pressing the raise hand icon in order to do that. And the first person I see with a hand up is Polly. Polly, welcome, and you're welcome to also come on camera if you'd like.
Oh, well, I didn't, that's a surprise. I've tried one thing that worked, and I was very surprised that it did, so I wanted to share, I still can't quite believe it. So someone suggested 2 or 3 weeks ago that this is a time to give, not to ask. And that was hard for me. My business came to a dead stop. I'm a remodeler. I'm in people's houses doing bathrooms and kitchens and stuff. That's not happening now. And people aren't in a mood to think about it either. So I'm on a long sales cycle. And for my business, I have to kind of think longer term. This will come back. But I decided I'd write newsletters in the give, don't ask. It was hard for me not to put a pleading sentence at the bottom, like, you know, don't forget me. But I didn't. I just offered some suggestions on what to do with kids and a little humor. And then I did a workshop, online workshop for kids. And then I opened up a piece of my land as a garden and then told people if they wanted to safely come out and garden, they could do that this last time. But what happened was I get very few leads and referrals. I only do 7 or 8 projects a year. And I've gotten 2 good leads out of that, of people saying, and a huge amount of positive feedback, definitely on people's radar. I didn't ask, but they got in touch anyway. So that's my experience.
You know, Polly, I love that. I'm on your mailing list. And so I've gotten a couple of those mailers. And you were offering help and resources to people. And absolutely, that was fabulous. You know, I know not everybody's in the position to do that in the way that you have been doing it. But I would feel very positive for sure about receiving a message from you that was phrased and presented in the way that you did.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thoughtful.
Great.
Feels thoughtful.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Lupe, you're next.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So just this morning, I had a sales call with a client. I'm a career coach, an executive coach. And this guy is actually an MD looking for a job in biotech and pharma. And so far, he's getting a lot of kind of closed doors and people aren't hiring right now, his experience. And I went on a very positive kind of a, you know, this is a good time for you to regroup and kind of get your act together, get your resume together, start your networking effectively. But then there was a little voice inside of me going, am I being falsely optimistic with this guy? Mm-hmm. Now, I always said, you know, I mean, I was very upfront. I don't know what the future holds. But I really think this is a great time to start reaching out into those circles that you want that job in. So my question is, how do you balance your own personal fears with being authentic? You know, because then I started feeling, am I just trying to sell him on this? Is that really how I feel? You know, so it was a lot of self-doubt. So I just wanted to pose that to both of you or anyone else. You know, how do you deal with that?
Great question, Lupe. I'll say something about that and then see if Chris would like to add to it. I think that there isn't necessarily a conflict between being authentic and helping somebody else with their situation. I think it can be done simultaneously. And everybody would have to do this differently because it needs to be, well, authentic is unique to you, right? We each have our own style. So if I were interacting with someone in that situation, I might say to them something similar to what I introduced this conversation with. You know, I get it. This is a tough time to be looking for work. No question about it. A lot of people aren't hiring. A lot of people are shut down. Some people are overwhelmed with communications. People are working from home, so they're scattered and not focused. It is not the best time. And you need a job, and the alternative is worse. So let's see if we can help you figure out how, in this environment, you can go out and look for a job. That might be a way that I would position it, right? Authentic, honest, admitting the situation and saying, got it, let's work around it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So Sandy just put something in the chat, Lupe, that says, I'm in HR. While it may not be the best time for the employer, it's a great time to review one. So Sandy, if you could just explain that a little bit more in the chat, that'd be great. And, you know, I have the same thing where I'm very positive a lot of times. And I also realize that that's not necessarily what is going to serve my client the best. And so I have to do my best to sort of read the tea leaves of what's going to serve them the best and be in that coaching space where I'm as neutral as possible. And I'm just generating options and I try not to feel attached to them. I mean, I know you're good at that. So that's my take on how to approach that, right? Just try to be Switzerland and speak your truth and let it land as authentically as possible. And if somebody has a relationship with you, they'll know that it's coming from that place of goodness, which is how you intended it. You're still muted, my dear. Oh, there you go. Okay, good. So Sandy is saying, look at one's resume and see if there's other skills that might need additional shoring up. She hit the button too fast. Maybe a candidate needs to practice interviewing questions and stuff. So basically, it's like a really great time to practice. You know, so I've got a question in the chat real quick, CJ, from Diana. Mm-hmm. And Diana Estrada, if you want to go ahead and come on, I think now would be the time to go ahead and chat about your question. Hi.
Hi, Diana.
Oh, wow. I'm on the screen. So my question is, what would be a way to market? And if I was, so I was laid off and I feel like I haven't like owned that with anybody that I know. Even if people ask if anybody was affected, if I'm in a, like a business networking group, I haven't like owned that or said it out loud because again, I live in this positive space that I don't want to bring the energy down. So, but I'm also a coach. And so what would be ways for me, is that how to share that? Do I even acknowledge that? Or do I just keep forging forward? And it's a challenge because I'm close to it. So it's like, I'm trying to live in this future mm-hmm. self of me, because that's what I also teach, is to live in that future version of myself. And this is something that is real life. And then I'm also afraid to also share about how I would go about fighting through this. Because I also like, I'm, you know, it's, this is my, you know, I'm the head of my household with my daughter. So.
Right. So let me answer this a little bit obliquely first. Because I think this will apply to a lot of people. Here's what you don't want to do. Somebody who's one of my LinkedIn connections reached out to me yesterday and said the following. It's been a hot minute since we last connected, and so much has been magically forming. I know there is in your world too, and I wanted to catch up and reach out to you specifically to invite you to a fantastic group that's only for, fill in the blank with your category, right? And that is an example of happy talk, tone deaf messaging. I get that she's trying to be positive with her, you know, so much has been magically forming, right? But the way that I responded to that message was delete and block. It's like, you are not paying attention. I don't want to hear from you. This is just completely inappropriate. So what I believe is that our messaging at this time, even when it's a one-on-one reach out like this was with a LinkedIn message, needs to acknowledge the shared situation in which all of us find ourselves. And I don't think we need to do that in a downer way. I think we need to acknowledge it. You know, if you wanted to invite me to join your online group right now, you might say to me, hi, if you're like a lot of us right now, you're trying to find more ways to connect online. That's what I'm offering right now. Don't know if this is appropriate for you because I don't know what your situation is, but here's what I've got going. If this seems like it'd be a good fit for you, get back in touch. Right? Whole other side of the world than what she did. And it's still very positive. I didn't find what I just said to be downer at all. Right? It's acknowledging the situation. It's saying, I have a potential solution. Let's see if it's right for you. Chris, what would you say?
You know, there's a lot of good love going on in the chat if people want to look at that real quick. Like, what I would say is I prefer it when people are transparent. And I want you to tell me like it is, because that calms me down. And I've worked with all kinds of folks over the years, because I do a lot of reinventions and rejiggering, and obviously a lot of the stuff we talk about in the Get Clients Now world. And a lot of that stuff is really messy. And until you feel like you're in alignment with yourself, it's not going to land authentically. So whoever this mystery LinkedIn evil, not, she's not actually evil, but the message was not appropriate, right? Whoever she is sounds to me like she's gone to the marketing shelf of the people that said this is what you're supposed to do, and she's plugged it in without doing this sort of internal alignment, like, is this actually my authentic voice? Is this really the time and place to do that? This is not business as usual. I think we can all agree on that. So what is appropriate? We're all trying to figure that out and not step over the line. And for me, that gauge is that alignment piece. So if you've been laid off and you've had personal experience, I would weave that into the story and use it. I mean, that's one of the things I love about being a coach versus some other type of professional. I can literally use every little ounce of the good stuff and the ugly stuff from my life and career as examples for my clients and weave it into a story that is authentic and is a contribution. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And let me throw in some of the things that are showing up in the chat from Michelle in reaction to the email opening I read. Ugh.
Yeah.
From Jerry, as Cheryl Richardson always says, tell the truth with love and compassion. Michelle also says, interesting point about tone deafness. I think a lot of us think that's more about being business as usual, but happy talk is another example. From Barbara, yes, I've gotten one of those. Now we can reset capitalism invites. From Lupe, I love it. Acknowledge the present and see if it's right for you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you get something out of that, Diana? Is that good?
Yes. And great. I think it also has to do with vulnerability, of being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And
big time.
I don't want people to like feel sorry, because I think that's probably what scares me.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and there's strength in that vulnerability. That's the thing. right? But you've got to get the story straight in your own head so that it's landing in an authentic way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Agreed. Great. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Let's call on Liz and then Rob. So Liz C., come on in, unmute yourself, go on camera if you'd like to.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for doing this. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I work in Montana. And I'm doing all. But what I've been doing is getting on Facebook, and I see a ton of people encouraging business people to get tips and learn what they can do. And I find it kind of annoying. I just have been streaming past all of those. And I've been sending out an email to all of my patients, just checking in and giving them tips of ways they can stay safe at home and things they can do with their kids, and encouraging them to call me if they get symptoms and if they're afraid. And so I guess my question is, I'm noticing people are on email a lot more than they were before, and using email as a tool to connect with people. And I was wondering about your thoughts or any other people's thoughts about that right now. And I love what I'm hearing about people staying positive, because I think that's really important when we're scared and things are a little bit unknown.
So I think reaching out individually by email to people who you've already had some connection with, who therefore are going to notice and accept your email, is, I think, a really good idea. Because people are reading their email these days more than perhaps they ordinarily would.
That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I think it's a terrific way to reach out to people with a message just like you said. You know, here's the kinds of things that I can help with under those circumstances. And even if it's a past client, hey, was thinking about you and wondering how you're doing in this environment. If there's anything I could do to help, please get in touch.
Okay. All right. And what are your thoughts about Facebook and right now? Because it just seems like it's so full of people promoting themselves. So I was wondering about your thoughts regarding that.
So are you talking about ads, Liz, or are you talking about people posting stuff on their profiles?
Ads of people, business people helping you grow your business, and I'm so successful with my business, I'm going to teach you all this stuff, and ad nausea.
Yeah, to me, anybody who's running the same ad that they ran before this happened is out of line. I don't feel like, this is my opinion, but I don't feel like anybody should be doing that business as usual thing. Want to make six figures in your pajamas? Come and take my fabulous 12-part series on XYZ. I think that kind of message is really going to turn people off in this environment. You know, the way that you're feeling about it, that kind of yuck, I think most people are going to feel that kind of yuck about it. I think we're all feeling kind of wounded in one way or another, and we need compassion. We need empathy. We need somebody who we feel like isn't going to just feed us a bunch of hot air. And so we're looking for that authenticity from people that we're going to do business with.
Thank you. That was really helpful.
Good. Chris, anything you want to add to that?
I have seen some massively inappropriate marketing going on, just like on a mind-boggling level, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I was sharing this with CJ yesterday. One of my clients forwarded me an email that she had received that she said she felt preyed on, which I feel is not an inappropriate response. The email was very much business as usual, and it's like, hey, we've got. It didn't even really acknowledge that there was a crisis happening. It just said, hey, you probably need some clients right now. Come join this. It was a 12-week program for a lot of money. So 12 weeks, number one, not cool right now. We're trying to just make sure we live through today and tomorrow in our mind's eye, you know, feeling safe in those ways. So three months is not cool. The languaging was all off. It was expensive. And, you know, at this point, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, I'm not going to spend an extra dime if I don't have to. I'll spend the money appropriately, but I'm not going to put it someplace that doesn't make sense to put it. And And, you know, the whole thing was just so tacky. And then her sales sheet was in a Google Doc. So it's like, dude, you cannot charge that kind of money and write that type of copy. So that's already two strikes. And now your sales pitch is done in a Google Doc. You can't be bothered to turn it into a PDF. I mean, there's like so many, I don't think so is happening. It's just like piling on top of each other. It just, it's mind-boggling, really. So this is where we go back to being authentic, not doing some marketing because somebody else told you that's how marketing is done. As we know, there's a lot of gurus out there that say stuff, and CJ wrote a really great article, and I think I wrote one too, about why you should not do what the gurus are telling you to do, because this is a hot button for both of us. And you, that's on the Get Clients Now blog if you, I don't know, could look it up later. Okay. But anyway, yeah, it's just, I agree with you. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the chat here about video programs that allow you to do recordings, voicemails that you can leave, phone calls. I often do a voice recording that I email. Anything, and if you're going to email, then you want to make sure the tone is, that you've chosen your words to make sure they're landing the way you intended them to land. This is not one of those 2 seconds types, hit the send button. You want to actually wordsmith it to make sure the goodness comes across. So whatever medium's appropriate for you is fine. Let's just make sure we've taken that extra step to be as present with it as we can so that it does what we're intending it to do and it doesn't land the way we are saying these other ones are.
Great, yeah, thank you so much.
That's great, Chris. And something else in the chat that I'll bring out is some folks have extra time in their hands, Michelle says, so maybe this could be a good time to take a course if it were free or not too expensive. Totally right, Michelle. Neither one of us would say, oh, don't take a course now. No, a course can be great. We're just talking about how you present it and being appropriate and not sounding sharky. Exactly. I'm going to take advantage of this situation by pushing this thing.
Yeah. That's the part that makes it feel predatory.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let us take Rob's question, and then we are going to switch topics to the next one. So if you had another question in this area, that's okay, because there's going to be more opportunities for people to ask questions, and we're going to talk about that at the end. So Rob, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. I just to cap on
Rob, your volume is really low. Can you lean closer to your mic?
Oh.
Oh, I see right you're holding
here.
It in your
can
hand.
Can you hear there. It okay?
Yeah, now can I can. Now? Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Good.
So just to capitalize on what you were just talking about, I have certain people that I follow, and a lot of them have given free courses and really reduced courses. So I think it's a great opportunity to take advantage of. And they're all saying it like, we want to help you out. So that's what I would look for if they actually really want to help you. So my question is, I've been, my revenue coach introduced me to this book called Get Clients Now. I don't want to mention the author's name, but the 28-day plan has really helped me up my revenue. And but the downside is that most of my activity has been face-to-face. And even though I've always wanted to build a work-from-anywhere business, I just never gotten around to it. And people are asking me, I do marketing and web design, and people are asking me, what can I do to make my business better? And I said, assume this is permanent and make your changes, you know, accordingly. Of course, now I got to practice what I preach. And my question is, most of my business, it seems like my best targets are like LinkedIn, maybe Instagram, maybe Pinterest, but definitely not Facebook. So I want to know, how can I shift my 28-day plan and focus to more online marketing, or at least online, you know, getting more leads from things like LinkedIn?
And for those like you who are familiar with the Get Clients Now program, Rob, what stage of the universal marketing cycle are you in?
Well, I was between getting more leads and follow-up. So follow-up was the biggest piece for me. So
that's good news, actually, because that means you really don't need to worry about putting yourself out there to fill the pipeline more, which is a tricky thing to do in this environment when you're not used to doing business online. Follow-up you can easily do, because you can follow up individually with anybody who you've made contact with in any way. As somebody was putting in the chat earlier, you know, this is a great time to do old school follow-up and pick up the phone.
Yeah.
It's a great time to send individual emails. Anybody that you're connected to through any existing social network, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, I mean, you can always direct message that person.
Yeah. Well, so I'm still trying to fill the pipeline. So I think I got the follow-up okay. And my current clients are happy. They're wanting to do it on Zoom. In fact, they're happier because I can record sessions.
Yeah.
My pipeline is going to be empty really quick. The way I usually do it is going to live networking events and making appointments and that kind of thing. And that's gone. So any ideas?
Well, when I just looked at the roster to get a feel for what you put into the profession box when I asked that question, Rob. And for you, I honestly think that one of the best approaches right now would be referral building.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Reaching out to the people who you do already know in your network and saying, this is the kind of client I'm trying to make contact with right now in this new changed environment. And you're probably trying to reach out to a certain kind of client too. Maybe we could help each other. Can we get together and talk about that online, on the phone, whatever? I would really encourage you to go in that direction, those one-on-one contacts that can build to having a strong referral network.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Chris, do you have any suggestions for Rob?
Well, there's some cool stuff happening in the chat here. The referral building idea is getting some really good press. Everybody likes that idea. Darlene was saying, Rob, you might want to consider, obviously, referrals or maybe getting some testimonials from people you've worked with, because that's always nice. A good source of testimonials and referrals, so those folks. And then Barbara was also saying that her goal is to have a work from anywhere business, and that she's using this time to test some systems, an excuse to transition more clients to online systems. And that is great. I love running experiments in general. I've always been a big fan. And now is, you know, if now is not the great time for that, I don't know when would be, because as we've already established, the business as usual sort of mindset isn't appropriate to begin with. So why not go ahead and run some experiments and try some things out that maybe in the past might have been a little outside your bailiwick or your mindset.
Great. Thanks for that, Chris. Cool. So, Beth, I know you had your hand up, but I am going to move on to the next section. Sorry about that. So let me pull up our screen here. Okay. So here is our next topic. We're going to talk about reinventing your business, because this was something that came up a lot in people's comments. So situations you might find yourself in could be things like work in your regular line of business has dried up and you need to do something different, or you've never done business virtually before and you need to make that switch pronto. What you were offering before seems too discretionary or maybe even irrelevant. What now? You want to be of service during this crisis. Is there some way you could earn an income at that? So who has some questions or comments in that category around reinventing your business? Raise your hand if you have a question or comment. So for anybody who came in late, we're up to like 55 people now. You can either, if you're on the phone, press *9 or look for the attendee controls bar somewhere on your screen and click either participants or more. And I see Carolyn has raised her hand. So Carolyn, no last name. Go ahead and unmute yourself. And if you'd like to, you can be on camera.
Hi, CJ. This is Carolyn Campbell.
Hi, Carolyn.
And hello. Good. I think I'm there. No.
There you are.
Okay. I'm out in a rural community here in Texas. And so I think I have good Wi-Fi, but I might not.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm okay?
Yep, we can hear you. We can see you.
Oh, hello. So, I started this program this year, and I think it's just a little bit ahead of the curve. And so I'm looking at how do we help people with something that's ahead of the curve that's going to be coming. And it's real quickly, I've been doing digital stories with youth across the country. Mm-hmm. And so now, this makes me cry, but now that the country has been shut down, the youth are exquisitely bored. And in some communities, issues are happening because of that. Mm-hmm. So to have I've created a program that's totally virtual. So I'm just like, but people aren't ready for that because they're still in just community survival mode. That's it.
So I don't know that I'd say that I would agree that people aren't ready for that. And the reason I would say that is because I see an awful lot of social media chatter about what do we do with the kids, right? So here are parents who perhaps have never worked from home before, and now they're trying to work from home, and there they have their kids. So they have some responsibility to get kids to do their schoolwork, but yes, as you said, the kids are bored. So I think there's a way that this could be positioned as something that people do need right now. Because in fact, these stories from youth are going to be used ultimately to help people, right? I mean, that's their juncture, their position, right? That's what they're going to do, their purpose, the stories. So how I would position it would be something along the lines of, here's something that your kids can do right now that's going to be of benefit to others, and it'll get them out of your hair and give them something constructive and useful to do that would also be fun for them. That's what would occur to me.
So I've been going through, I've done 10 different organizations, and in each case, and organizations are different. And so maybe I have to think about where I'm not strong is creating both the process and a platform. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, Chris, do you have any thoughts for Carolyn?
Well, just shout out to my fellow Texan. So there's that.
Oh.
I know, hello. I'm an Aggie, so don't hold it against me. So what do I want to say about that? It feels to me like this is a really rich time for innovation. And if you feel like you're a person who is good at trend spotting or seeing things that are coming down the road, sometimes you have to put the breadcrumbs real close together because people don't necessarily see what you see. And so that's, again, where we go back to some wordsmithing to make sure that they can pick up the vision that you've got. And I agree. I mean, I've got several friends and colleagues and clients. You know, one of my clients is a virtual organizer. You want to talk about somebody whose business has come to a complete halt. So she and I did a practice session where I was her guinea pig about how does virtual organizing work. And I'm going to do another session like that either today or tomorrow with another client who's also an organizer. And we're just trying to reinvent things and help them and the people that they work with to see things differently. And I'm seeing, and specifically I mentioned those ladies because they also have children who are now at home all the time. And so they're trying to juggle a husband and a child and a business and of course their own monkey mind and self needs. So it's there's a lot of ladies and men in the same boat trying to figure that out. So I'm confident that they would feel grateful and relieved if somebody else would help speak to them right now.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of let it go, not let it go, but I'm working with a nonprofit right now, so at least somebody can kind of see how it's done, mm-hmm. you know, and hopefully the process will go well because it would be easiest for to have a portal through somebody else other than me. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, well, that's great. Where some of the experimental stuff can come in too. Yeah, cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a few things in the chat. Tony says, Carolyn could start by authentically saying, I know you may not feel ready, and now is the time. Distinguish the objection up front. Sarah, yours is a question, so I'm going to skip over that. And Sandy says, regarding reinventing or retooling on a personal level, perhaps we need to augment our skills. Coaches need coaches. And we may need to think about what the new normal may be for our business. When I think about reinventing, I also feel like I need to revisit my business vision, mission, and values, as well as what, how I want to communicate it. Mm-hmm. So there isn't another hand up at the moment. And just a reminder for anybody who joined us late, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, feel free to raise your hand on the phone. That's *9. And online, you go to either participants or more and look for the raise hand note. So I'm going to read out Sarah's question next.
Sarah, I have a question says, too, from Polly.
Great. There.
Yeah.
Good. So Sarah, then Polly, then Morena. Sarah, I've always worked face-to-face as a coach or a workshop leader. I'm thinking of transitioning to online. Are we getting overwhelmed with Zoom groups? So my answer for that, Sarah, would be look at the fact that we have 54 people here today to have this conversation. And this is the second one. And we had one last week, right? So people are hungry and eager for connection right now, however they can get it. People are either at home alone, which many people are, or they're at home with just their spouse and they're afraid they're going to start killing each other. Or they're at home with their spouse and their kids, and just the very idea of going into another room, perhaps, and closing the door and being able to focus on something of interest to them could be very attractive and tempting. Chris, is there anything you'd say about that?
I was distracted. I'm answering a couple of questions in Zoom. Ask me the question one more time, please.
So Sarah's question was, are people getting overwhelmed with Zoom groups?
Oh, yes. The answer to that is absolutely. And that's what I was just about to type into the chat. So I will not type it. I will just say it, which is holy mackerel. I was talking to one of my coaching colleagues, and she and I have been doing a lot of stuff. We're doing a whole day-long course together tomorrow. In fact, that'll be online, and you know, it'll be like 8 hours in an online chat room like this, and it'll be crazy because that's a long time to be online together. And I said, you know, if we don't watch it, we're going to be so self-helped, we won't even know what to do with ourselves. And then I said, LOL, we already are, because I cannot tell you the number of mailing lists I'm on, and I've gotten off of quite a few. So I feel like the ones I'm on are the ones that have really made the cut, if you know what I'm saying. Everybody wants to help me. They all have a class, they have a free thing, they have a resource page. If my doctor emails me one more time, holy cow, I don't even know where to park that in my brain. So I love feeling helped. And at some point it's like, wow, people, I just want to go out on my deck and stare at the sky for a minute and get a little literal space. I'm enjoying the stillness that having the city be shut down. I'm in San Francisco, CG and I both are. There's a stillness that's going with that. The thing that's happening that I'm noticing though is there's so much frenetic energy by the people who aren't in alignment, as we spoke about earlier, and then also uber helpful energy. You know, one of my coaching colleagues said that she's a two on the Enneagram, if any of you know that particular system. So their response to everything is to be very, very giving. And she said she just had to make herself stop moving, because she was like, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you, to the point where her husband said, I actually don't want any help, and you kind of need to back off about that. So imagine that translating into your inbox, which is what I've been seeing. So again, this is where we have to try to strike the right balance, and how do you reach out if you're going to reach out so that it doesn't add to that kind of noise.
That's perfect, Chris. And I think that really shows the breadth of feelings that people have about this right now. Let me throw something out from the chat from Lonnie. Mm-hmm. There were always more physical meetings than we could attend. we have to find balance on which Zoom meetings we will attend. I think that is a great perspective. So let me also throw out there from Jerry, I personally think Zoom classes are helpful but exhausting. I've always coached by phone one-on-one. It's very intimate and energizing for both the client and me. Yeah, I do a lot of work just by phone and not by video too. So keep that in mind. It doesn't have to be video just because video is possible. Rob says if you replace face-to-face sessions with Zoom, you can record it and give it to your clients. True. Raven says Zoom fatigue.
It's a thing.
And then Raven says, and yet here we are. So Polly says, but people are also experiencing too much online. You have so many participants because you're giving real value. It's got to be targeted and high value and accessible. And Tony says, Zoom is just a tool, a location even, not the end game. No different than a restaurant for a reception or a conference room for a meeting. So just notice the range of perceptions out there, right? Mm-hmm. That people who you're trying to reach out to could be in any of those places. And if you're wanting to teach a class, and that's the way that you make your living, is by getting groups of people together into a room, well, Zoom or something like it is probably the best option you have right now. And there will be some people that don't want to do that. And those people are simply people that at this particular moment, you cannot serve. Until such time as you can get people together into a room again. But it doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of other people out there who are like, oh yes, please, I've been wanting to take this course and thank you so much for offering it online.
Well, and the course I'm in tomorrow is an Enneagram training course, in fact, and I really wanted to go to it, but it was in Cincinnati, and I'm not going to fly to Cincinnati for a day and a half and then fly back. So I wasn't going to be able to attend, but now I can. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So we need to call on Polly and Marina and then move to our third topic.
And Christine has had her hand up for a while as well.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah. Why isn't that showing on my screen? Oh, I see. Christine is in there too. Yeah. Okay. But I do want to say one more thing because it's come up twice now in the chat. When Chris and I do full day Zoom sessions, we're not on Zoom all day. What we do is we do a session. And then we give people something to do, and then we get off Zoom. And then we come back on, and we do a session, and we give people something to do, and we get off Zoom. So no, we're not sitting there on Zoom all day long when we do full day sessions. Any of you who've ever done Get It Written Day with me have experienced just exactly that format.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. So Polly was next, and then Marina.
Yeah, I didn't have my hand raised. I just put a thing on the chat, but it's fine. I'll share it. Your four categories of people, I'm not quite in those, and I don't think I'm alone. My business will come back, but not for some months, and I'm going to survive till then. So my focus now is two things. One is to build for the future, really think about just strengthening what I do. But the second thing is to bring in some money now to help me survive until then. So I'm adding a fifth category for you.
Okay, great. And do you have a mechanism for bringing in some money now, Polly?
No. Well, I mean, I'm working on a book, as you know, and I'm hoping there'll be an advance coming. So there's something else I do I can focus on now that I never had time for. That's a blessing. The other thing is I can do some... I do normally do some design consulting. So I'm trying to understand how to encourage people that they could do that now without just having the wrong message. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to in the next couple of weeks to say, hey, I did have one thought, which was to offer a sliding scale. That I'm picking that up in what you're saying, that sounds more sensitive than I want your money. It's kind of like, this is something you could be doing, folks, and it might make you feel good, and it's building for the future, and you might not want to spend money on it right now. If that's an issue, talk to me. We'll work something out. That sounds professional. Doesn't sell me short.
It does. It does. And something else that I would suggest for you, Polly, would be that for people out there who were in your pipeline already,
that
an approach that sounds like this. You know, this situation is temporary. We know the lid is going to get lifted at some point. I'd still like to do your project. What would you think if we were to do some design work right now without me physically being in the space, right? You could do that online with people.
That's one of the two referrals was of that sort, and I hadn't thought of it. She wrote and said, look, can we get together outdoors and talk or something? So I'm going to respond to that.
Yeah.
The thing that might apply to other people, I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it. I'm fairly expensive, and people often have a budget problem.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to toss out there that I don't know what opportunities there may be in the future with all this change. Some things are going to get harder and more expensive, but some things, maybe we could save some money, give some people some work, and maybe a little more, whatever. I'm going to offer to discuss that possibility with folks.
Great. I love that idea. Good.
Yeah, I love it too. I have a client in the same boat. He's the general contractor, and you know, he's been completely shut down for the foreseeable future. So he's kind of freaking out. So we're having that same conversation, Polly. Appreciate you bringing it up.
Good. All right, thank you. Okay, so Marina, then Christine, then we're going to change topics.
Hi, CJ. I didn't raise my hand, and I don't have a question.
Oh.
But I am enjoying the conversation, so thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Then straight to Christine. So Christine R., in case there's any question about which Christine I'm calling
on. Yes. Hi, everybody. And God, I just so appreciate both, you know, CJ and Chris, you know, and what you guys are talking about, because I've felt like kind of paralyzed in regards to getting my newsletter. I haven't done my monthly newsletter, which I've been completely religious about for the past 5 years, every month, for the past 2 months. And it's exactly because of, you know, what we're talking about in regards to just, it feels repulsive to me to just put out the same stuff of talking about opportunizing in a way for my business right now. And I'm a marriage family therapist in private practice and a life coach. And also I make cryptocurrency educational online courses. And so the reason that I raised my hand is that I just kind of wanted to run by this maybe innovative idea of how I can kind of maybe survive during this time. And, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, I wasn't going to send out the newsletter until I had something that I thought was going to really be a valuable thing to my clients that know me. And so I've decided that I'm going to do a vision boarding, you know, workshop and offer it for free and kind of, you know, format it, you know, where you just check in at periodically through the day. And so I think that that's going to be a really great activity to do with, you know, my clients, both my therapy clients and life coaching clients. But I'm also considering, you know, maybe in that workshop, you know, bringing up, you know, kind of like, you know, looking at the different aspects of your life that you might want to be including on your vision board. And, you know, talking and bringing in kind of the cryptocurrency is something people might want to start learning about, given the financial situation that we're all in right now. And I've really wanted to keep that separate in the past, but I'm kind of imagining it might be a really good time to do that right now.
And I think you're right, Christine, that it potentially could be. You know, I was reading a great blog by Michelle, which I just pasted the link for into the chat. And the title of the blog was Five Reasons to Overcommunicate with Your Audiences Now and What to Say. And she said really interesting things. She says, number one reason why you may want to keep in touch with people is providing reassurance. Having you there is reassuring to your audiences.
Nice.
And she also points out, we need distractions Everywhere you look, there are coronavirus stories, but immersing yourself in coronavirus news 24/7 isn't healthy. Many are searching for other things to read or to watch.
Yeah.
And I think those are both really valid, useful points for somebody like yourself who has something that, yeah, you can offer right now that people might actually be happy to see.
Yeah, and I was also even thinking maybe I should kind of offer, like, you know, people could check in with me instead of having an hour session, like a 20-minute session, and have it be a lot cheaper. You know, like if they're wanting to kind of get a little support around reaching their vision on their vision boards or something like that. But maybe just, you know, asking people to pay what they feel like they can afford, or, you know, making it kind of like that. I don't know. I'm just thinking of different things because I'm a little nervous about, you know, what's happening financially. And, you know, I'm noticing not only with myself, but with my clients, that people are having a hard time, you know, actually making progress in what they know they need to be doing. And I think it's this underlying fear that's kind of going on and uncertainty. So I need to get into action and hopefully figure it out.
Well, that's a great segue into our next topic, Christine. Let me throw out a couple of things from the chat. And then I see that, again, Beth, you have your hand up as I'm about to switch topics. So this time I'm going to call on you. So hold on for 1 second. So a couple of people say, short sessions are a great idea. I'm doing free 30-minute sessions, one-offs. And then that was from Jerry. And then Darlene says, I just started offering a 20-minute laser focus session where they come with one thing to discuss and we get them into action by the end of 20 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you. Yeah, that those are great ideas.
And I've seen some pretty creative pay what you will sliding scales type models out there. You know, my coaching school has sent out a bunch of courses recently. I went to the Academy for Coaching Excellence in Sacramento, and what they've been doing is sending out a, if your income is within this range, why don't you think about paying this much? Or if your income's in this range, think about paying that much, which I find a little bit easier than the just, I don't know, pay me whatever you want, because that feels too paralyzing to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I also saw a different marketing thing come across the other day, because I love looking at this stuff. And this lady said, normally $97, because we know what it is, because we see the store all the time. But we're doing pay what you want. And then she had three tiers. We think this might be the reasonable number, but you could pay this, or you could just fill in the blank yourself. So there was, again, there was a guideline. So it was still pay what you want, but there was a guide. So you didn't feel so lost in the woods about it.
Yeah. Okay, that's really great. Thank you, Chris.
Love it. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. You're welcome, Christine.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you. All right, let me call on Beth. So Beth S.
Can you see me?
I see a screen with your name on it. So have you clicked your
Yeah, it tells me I can't start the video because the host has stopped it.
There we go.
Yeah, okay.
Hi.
Very good to see you off the ship and on land, CJ.
Thank you.
I have a lot of clients right now who are doctors or who are administrators running hospitals. And many of them have put their coaching on hold for obvious reasons. And I've just been trying to think about ways to like show them I'm thinking of them, see if I can be of any help or support to them. And I would love ideas about that. And the other thing I wanted to say was just regarding what someone was just saying about having a hard time getting down to getting things done. I just saw an incredibly good article that a colleague of mine sent me that just came out in the Chronicle of Higher Education about how in this, it was written by a professor who's been through several major crises in different locations. And he said that in this kind of crisis, you really can't be productive in the first few weeks. You have to give yourself some time to adjust. And I would be happy to share the link with you. I can put it in chat if I can find it before we're done with the call, because it was incredibly reassuring to me and also to a number of my clients who I've talked to since reading it. But it's like, don't expect yourself to like write your novel right now or dive into the research that you haven't had time to do in 10 years, because it's not reasonable. You need to give yourself some adjustment time. So anyway, ideas about how to connect with my medical clients would be very welcome.
I have been told by people in the medical profession that typically the only way to get their attention is to either show up at their office, which is not currently possible, or to send them something physical. So that could potentially be an option for you right now, because you can never get a doctor on the phone.
No.
Right? And now,
I get doctors on the phone all the time, very high level specialists, but it's because I coach them.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because they're, well, and they're potentially calling you in that circumstance, exactly, rather than the other way around. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. And email right now just, you know, looks like a tsunami for people in that profession. They're certainly not spending any time on social media right now. So yeah, something physical. What could they need or use that would let them know you're thinking of them?
N95 masks. I don't have any.
Yeah.
But
you know, one of my colleagues is actually cooking for them. Because she is physically nearby. So that's how she's been helping with that.
Yeah.
And Diana just threw that into the chat. Medical doctors send them food cards. So gift cards for food.
That's an idea.
Yeah. Starbucks card.
Yeah, they definitely need humor. I'm just looking at the chat as well. I also have been, I did send them emails because these are ongoing clients of mine.
Right.
I sent an email and said, you know, I'm happy to do, even if you don't have time to do a whole session, I'm happy to just do a touch base to see how you're doing and help you figure out some coping strategies. And I won't charge for that. But I doubt they're really checking their email.
Right. So a physical something with a just very brief personal note might do the trick. And people are suggesting some things that cost money, right? It wouldn't even have to be something that costs money. It could just be simply a thank you for all you do card.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for that. All right. So we are going to switch gears here. I'm going to put the slides back up. And conversation topic 3. This is the one that we were already segueing into. Staying productive and sane. Maybe you're finding it hard to focus and get things done, or you're feeling stressed out, shook up, and worried about the future. You've got a partner and or kids underfoot all the time. How can you get any work done? You're all by yourself all day and feel isolated and lonely. So who wants to throw something out there about this? Either a resource like Beth was suggesting, and by a resource, I mean, you know, here's a way of dealing with that or not as appropriate, or to ask a question as before. And Polly, your hand is up.
What I've been doing is trying to sort out what is the situation and what is me. So I'm a lot more isolated than I need to be. I've noticed that I have not been, there's no reason to not take a walk out somewhere 6 feet away. And I've done that a couple times, but not as much as I could. I have the power to change my circumstances a lot. And then some things I'm completely helpless over. It helps me to keep those two things separate.
Yeah, For sure. People can definitely go out of the house a lot more than I feel like they might be thinking. Obviously, we want to be safe about how we do all that. And yet it's not as if you're allowed to step outside your front door and get some fresh air, right? And it's interesting too, everybody that's been commenting on anything like this in the chat has been saying that there's a lot of us having trouble focusing, not unlike what Beth said a minute ago. That first week was hard for a lot of us to wrap our minds around the fact that the world changed. You know, in San Francisco, we went on a shelter in place order on March 17th. So basically this is, you know, this is gonna be a little pretty long stretch for those of us here in the city. So focusing is something that comes and goes, and you have to take care of yourself, as you're saying, Polly. You know, I bought a jump rope and a hula hoop, and I haven't hula hooped since I don't even know when, but that actually feels like a really fun thing to do that'll help my body stay good, my mind stay good, and it's just festive. You can't be in a bad mood if you're hula hooping, you know?
I just find it important to know when the situation is being used by me as an excuse. I could be doing a good bit more in my business, and I'm a little bit flaked out.
Yeah.
That's not the first time I've ever done that. It has never worked well for me. And conversations are real good help to saying, hey, let's do what we can do.
Totally. I'd be surprised if you weren't a little flaked out. You know, one of the things that I've been noticing is that if all of you have run into Maslow's hierarchy of needs somewhere along the way, I really have been thinking about that a lot lately, because if the bottom of our Maslow's pyramid, the very bottom is food and shelter. And in a pandemic, it's pretty easy to think that the bottom of your Maslow's pyramid is being attacked, which triggers your amygdala, which is where your monkey mind lives, and you go into fight or flight mode. So it's not really a big stretch to realize physiologically what's happening and then to extrapolate. I don't know if it's the same article that Beth was referring to, but there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle about this is why you're not getting skinny and buff during this time, because you can't, because your brain is so focused on the bottom of your Maslow's pyramid. Am I safe? Am I food? Do I have shelter? Right? My tribe is gone. Oh my God, I'm shaken up because I feel like my normal systems aren't present. When that stuff starts happening, then there's nothing left for self-actualization and all the other things at the top of the pyramid, which is where most of us on this call would prefer to live and actually do live most of the time, thankfully. So you're not alone in this. It's a real thing. And so just be compassionate with yourself. And I've just been going with this idea of, you know, I think I'll include that. I didn't see a pandemic coming, but what the hell, here it is. I'm going to just go ahead and include that in my reality now and adjust accordingly and do what I can do every day. And if that means I'm productive for 4 hours today, then that's what it means. And I just call it good.
Sounds good, Christine.
Yeah, thanks, Polly. Let's see, Joan, you had your hand up. Are you able to come on, or did I?
Yeah, you need to help me start the video.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So it's been interesting. My state just went into don't go outside this week. Now we've been slowly shutting down where I live. And I'm in the category live by myself, and I'm pretty isolated from my community. I'm like 30 miles from my major community. So I write in the morning, and every morning, almost every morning, the guidance is when I feel not productive to stop. And most days, and you know, and I want to get things done. I'm self-employed. I live by myself. I'm going through stuff, and it's hard. And we are definitely, collectively, this is in our consciousness. I mean, it's just, you know, so I think we also definitely have to take social media breaks and breaks from just the news. But I do go out. Actually, the first part is, until this week, I was fighting that. You know, I was like a toddler who was exhausted but wouldn't go to sleep. So yesterday was the first day I noticed I hit that wall around 3, and I said, stop. I do live in a house, so I can just sit outside. I also have an autoimmune condition underlying, so I'm nervous, but I've I have gloves. I don't have to go into the stores. I found ways to protect myself.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, with Polly, like that balance between what's a really to be concerned about and what's just a fear that's being laid on. And this afternoon,
absolutely,
I live in a nature-ish area, so I'm going to get together with a friend and go on a hike. Last right. week, a friend came down. We drove in separate cars to go to a place. So I think, you know, my bottom line is, you know, this is something we are contending with. It is a grief. There is fear. I'm being grounded. I can't go outside and play. And it is temporary. I keep reminding myself.
Right. That this is not forever.
Now. Yeah. And there's something, I'll say, valuable to getting comfortable being quiet and in the silence at times. Because a lot of us Absolutely. Are busy, you know, people are busy. So we're really being, we're getting to look at what is it like not to be busy.
Well, and I have to say for myself and again, the clients that I'm talking to, and CJ was echoing this too, this idea of, I'd love for CJ in a minute to say more about what you said about your French client and the mindset that happens with this. But, you know, what I've been noticing is that there's just quite frankly a lot of sitting still right now that I don't feel like doing. Thank you very much. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to go there in my brain, wherever that is, personally, professionally, whatever. Little nooks and crannies that I've just sort of like shoved it to the side because I didn't feel like it or I didn't have to at the moment. You know, with this level of stillness, San Francisco is a pretty busy city. Even in, it's quieter than someplace like New York might be, but still, it's not a quiet place per se. And right now, you could almost hear a pin drop out on the street, and just collectively, everybody's just brought it down about tenfold. I actually love that, temperamentally speaking. Somebody was talking about introverts versus extroverts. I'm an introvert, and I'm like, dude, I can stay home all day, fine, no problem. Of course, I am going a little nuts with that because I don't have options anymore, right? So that's what I find myself pushing against that, like you were saying. So why don't we just decide to include it? That's where that idea came from. Let's include it in our reality and work with it. But yeah, there's something about staying present, finding trusted news source, making sure you're taking care of yourself physically and emotionally, and just being with what is. And if those little things start coming out of the corners, go ahead and include them too, because I find that there's been some creativity and some opportunities and some actually kind of cool stuff that I know I would have missed otherwise if I was still being in the busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw a question from Tony, and I think the answer is yes, because I'm going to restart. But there, I have a link to a good article, if I can find it, about it was in it.
And is that Tony's question about the side business or startup yeah. sole proprietorship falling through the cracks of the small business stimulus programs? Yes. Now, we're talking only about the U.S., and we do have an international audience here. Yes, you're right, because they're basing things on income previously generated. So whole side topic here to talk about. Money and benefits and things like that. But just because I know that is one of the things that people are concerned about is that people that are in a startup mode have not necessarily been accommodated in any of the available programs in the U.S. right now. However, don't forget that even if you're in business, you might be able to make a case for collecting unemployment depending on the rules in your state. Every state is implementing that guideline guideline differently. So you might be surprised that even as a small business owner, you might potentially qualify for unemployment benefits depending on how your state is putting that together to make it available to you. And I also want to say on the finances topic, don't forget that the CARES program here in the U.S. is not the only place that money is being offered. Check into every single association that you belong to, every single vendor you do business with, every school you ever went to, see what they're offering. there are other grants or payment forgiveness options out there. And in many states, you may be able to defer rent payment or mortgage payment for a long period of time. So look at what's possible there. Don't just take somebody's word for it that, for example, you have to have a payroll to get the loans in the U.S. That's actually not true. The program is structured so that a self-employed person can get a loan for their own payroll. So look at the fine print, ask for lots of help. I know we have a couple more hands up and we're not going to have time for them because I want to leave us a couple of minutes to wrap up here. And I'm also not going to read everything that's in chat, of which there's a ton of ideas about this topic we were just talking about and the topic that we kind of segued to about, but what about the loans and the grants and the unemployment and, you know, where does the money come from? So look in the chat. I'm going to capture it and send it out to everybody so that you can see that. And let's move to the wrap-up piece so that we will have time to do that and show you what opportunity there is for more questions that you didn't get answered today. Next steps, we're going to be offering, Chris and I, a series of three free sessions coming up on the three following Thursdays, each one focused on one of the three topics that we included today. So Thursday, April 9th, will be marketing and sales. Thursday, April 16th, will be reinventing your business. Thursday, April 23rd, will be staying productive and sane. Each one of those is going to be an hour long. It's going to be a little bit more class-like than this format. So we'll have some ideas and resources for you. Those, all three sessions, that series is free. We will send info to anybody who was registered here today about how to sign up for those. And we are doing them on a registration basis so that we don't end up with more people than we can realistically handle. Remember to tell me if there's anything that you want to have deleted from the recording of today. And if you have any other comments or questions or requests for Chris and me, our emails are right there on the screen for those of you who are on the phone. My email is contact@cjhayden.com. Chris's is coach@christinecarey.com. Christine with a K, Carey with a C. A couple of closing remarks. Remember what we said at the beginning. This is a temporary situation, even though the impact may be long-lasting. You're not alone in your questions, your fears, and struggles. I just want to say, signed up for today, now this includes everybody who signed up for either last week's session or this week, so it's more people than we had here today, were 113 people from the U.S., 5 from the U.K., 3 from the Netherlands, 4 from Australia, 3 from Canada, and 1 each from the Ukraine, Switzerland, South Africa, Spain, Portugal, Philippines, Ireland, India, France, and Croatia. You are not alone in your questions, your fears, and your struggles. That's true. There are answers out there, although you may have to work to find them, what we were just referring to with grants, loans, other things you might be eligible for. We are, all of us, we're in this together. You and Chris and I, you and your clients, you and your neighbors, everybody who's in your physical or virtual community. And if we continue to support each other, we can get through this. Chris, is there anything you'd like to add to that summary of in closing stuff?
We're better together. Rising tide lifts all boats. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You know, all those great quotes that I think of, I'm thinking of them extra right now because I feel like we need it. And if you need to have a meltdown, go have a meltdown and then just eat some chocolate and know that an hour later, you're probably going to feel different if you're like anybody else that I've been talking to. Do what you can with what you got. That's all we can do, right? We're all just chickens here doing what we can with what we've got in front of us. Be compassionate.
Yeah, to others and yourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great. So thank you, everybody. In a second here, I'm going to stop the recording. And anybody who wants to stay on just for an informal say hello, brief chat, feel free to do that. I will send out the invitation to participate in the next one of these programs next week. And thank you all for showing up and for everybody's contributions.
It's been great.